Hey, what's up, headbangers and freaks? This is Jason McMaster on Focus on Metal.
All right there. Welcome to yet another week of Focus on Metal. This is Scott.
Richie.
Yeah, Richie is in the house, ready to do another show. How are we doing, man?
Great. Excellent.
It's warm out.
It is very warm. Was it 90?
I don't know.
Brain's fried.
It's okay. It's better than the deep freeze we were in. So anyways, so you having a good week?
I'm having a great week, yeah.
Awesome, awesome. And of course, we've got, I don't know, I'm looking at the amount of interviews we have queued up that we haven't played yet, and it's growing rapidly.
Yeah, it is growing. They just keep hitting us up.
Yeah,
I don't know, maybe we should say no to some of them, but
yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah, so of course, you know, we've got a great guest this week, and that would be Jason McMaster. And of course, a lot of you guys know him either from Broken Teeth or from Dangerous Toys or from Igniter or from some of the cover bands he's done. Definitely guy has been out there doing a lot of stuff. So hopefully you guys are going to enjoy that talk this week. Anything bugging the metal mind this week at all?
Yeah, let's talk about how excited are you about the new Slayer album? Repentless, I believe it's called. Where's the curiosity factor on when it comes to it?
It is. I am curious about it. Here's the funny thing. I get the email from Nuclear Blast about the limited edition. It's up. It's 3,000 of them they're going to make, of this special limited edition copy of the album, which is like, it's like this metal cast cover. It unfolds into an inverted cross. And there's a couple other things that come with it. And I was like, that's pretty cool. I think I want that. And then I went and I clicked and I went, I don't want it for £149.99.
Wow. For one album.
Wow. And I was like, I don't want it that. And I mean, it looks really cool. And I'm sure that there's hardcore Slayer fans out there that will love to get their hands on it. It was just, it wasn't that cool enough
for me. Stop. You just said hardcore Slayer fans. Yeah. The hardcore Slayer fans, a lot of them don't see this as being Slayer anymore anyway.
And I could see why they would feel that way without having Jeff in the band. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And Dave.
Yeah.
Yes.
Even though I'm a massive fan of Paul Bostoff. I think he's a tremendous drummer.
Yeah.
And I love the albums he played on. Right. God Hates Us All. I think it's fantastic. Right. But there are the fans out there that I think when it comes to this record, it could be fantastic, and they're just going to shoot it down and say, this is not Slayer.
Yeah.
It just isn't.
Well, I think it's, you know, when you talk about Paul Bostoff, I mean, you know, I think anybody that comes into Slayer after Dave Lombardo, I mean, Dave, and I think I have to grudgingly give a little bit of credit to Rick Rubin, that Dave's drumming was, this cornerstone to that Slayer sound. Mm. But he influenced so many people that I think people that come into Slayer, it's hard for them not to have been touched by that influence as well. So they're kind of bringing that sense into the band, all these people. They're not going to go out and get, you know, they're not going to ask Bunny Carlos to play in Slayer. It's people that were either in that same scene, you know, just like Gary Holt was, you know what I mean? Or someone who's been heavily influenced by Dave. So I think that, you know, something like that, it didn't bring something different to the party at all, and Paul certainly slots in there pretty nice. So I am not a hardcore Slayer fan
I always felt that Slayer albums were great when Jeff and Kerry wrote the music, and there was some albums that Jeff wrote more of the music and then Kerry stepped up and he wrote some of the later uh-huh. records. Now this is going to be the first record where Kerry writes all of the music.
Right. I think there's, I believe, I could be wrong. Again, I'm not a hardcore Slayer fan.
I think Jeff's on one track,
but
maybe.
He wrote it.
Yeah.
And what Kerry said was that for years now, even with the stuff that Jeff writes, that Kerry would lay the rhythm down.
Yeah.
And so Jeff wrote the song. Kerry has, it isn't Jeff on the rhythm. It's Kerry. They never had a chance for Jeff to do a solo on it. So there is a Hanneman song on here, just that Jeff isn't on the song.
Yeah, I think I'm looking forward to it. There's other albums that are coming out that I'm probably looking forward to more.
Mm-hmm.
I'm interested to hear it because I am a Slayer fan.
Yeah,
and I like the newer stuff. I didn't think Christ Illusion was that great. World Painted Blood was pretty good. None of their albums to me are terrible.
Yeah.
I will say I'm interested to hear it. I'm a little bit disappointed that Gary wasn't involved in the songwriting. It's probably to do with the publishing and there's a lot of political stuff involved maybe, but I hope that his stamp is on it as a player.
Oh, I'm sure it is.
I think, you know, Exodus, fantastic band. He's a great player, great songwriter.
Yeah.
I'm actually a little bit surprised that he wasn't invited to contribute to the songwriting.
Yeah.
What do you think?
No, I think there probably is some publishing stuff in there as well. But, you know, it also might have been to see, you know, okay, how much gas is in the tank for Carrie and for Tom, you know, and what they can bring to it and what they have left. I mean, it might have been a gauge.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. As opposed to people going, oh, because then you got the, it doesn't matter. No one's going to be happy either way, right? I mean, it's damned if you do, damned if you don't,
yeah.
Right? If they hadn't put anything out, they'd be like, oh, well, you know, they're just living on Jeff's legacy. And then they put something out and it's like, it sucks because it doesn't have Jeff. So I think having Gary on there, then you have people going, oh, well, they wouldn't have been able to make an album without Gary.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Everyone's going to have their thing, which sucks. Because these are guys that, you know, I mean, they kept Gary with them because they like playing with him.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's part, you know, you go and you read, you know, Murder in the Front Row and you look at the pictures and there's fuckloads of pictures in there of Gary and Jeff and Carrie. And I mean, those guys all hung out together. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I will say one thing though, we're talking about pictures. You seen the recent pictures of Tom Araya?
No, I haven't.
Fuck, he looks old. He's got the fucking big beard and the hair, gray beard on him.
Yeah, but that dude's been through a lot health-wise last couple of years.
Operations,
you know what I mean?
And stuff. I can imagine what the road work's done to his body over the years.
Yeah, so. Oof. Yeah. I guess it always catches up to you, right? So.
Yeah, but $150.
Yeah,
I'm not going
no, it's 150 pounds.
Oh, sterling.
Convert that puppy.
I was going to buy two. I'll only buy one now.
I would have been on the fence at $150, but when it was 150 pounds, it was like, I didn't even have to run the exchange rate through
my
skull.
Hold on. Tell me what's in it again. The CD.
Yeah.
What else?
All right. So it's got, let's see what it is. It's got the deluxe digipack. So it folds out to an inverted cross. It's got a bonus Blu-ray and DVD Slayer Live at Wacken 2014, plus the Making of Repentless documentary. It's got a bonus live CD of Slayer at Wacken as well. So you get the DVD Blu-ray thing, plus a CD of it, a fold out poster, an album sticker, and then a numbered certificate.
Okay. Now you tell me. In that box, what is putting that up to 149 pounds? Nothing. How much does a CD cost to produce, or a Blu-ray cost to produce, or a sticker, or a poster? Like, is it like 10 foot by 12 foot, or you know, is it the shipping, or what is it? Because there's nothing in there that to me justifies the 149. Oh, that's euros.
Yeah,
150 euro price tag. No way.
Yeah. Well, you know what's interesting on it is that, you know, when you look at it on the nuclear blast site too, which I would have liked to see, is they give a picture of the, like, the CD, you know, Metal Eagle edition thing, so you can see that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you see that, but then I want to know, like, how does it look folded? Because usually they do a pretty good job of showing like all the stuff and how it looks. In this case, they just showing the CD. Closed up at like every different angle. I don't care how it looks when I look at it on edge.
Mm.
Like, show me it folded out.
No, what I want to have it in my hand to look at it, because there's been a lot of these companies over the years that they've got say like the early Sabbath catalog or the early Judas Priest catalog, and they've been re-releasing it and re-releasing mm-hmm. and re-releasing it, and they do all these box sets and they yeah. look great, and then when you actually get them, the quality is crap.
Yeah.
So for something like that, I'd actually want to. And the problem now is like there's no record stores. You can't go in and actually look at one right. and then say, right, this actually looks cool, and I'll order one.
Yeah.
But you're just looking at that on a screen. You actually don't know if it's going to fall apart when you get it. I'm not saying it will, but buyer yeah. beware for something like that for yeah. me, because that's a fair amount of coin, you know.
It's, oh, it is.
And the stuff that's actually in it is nowhere near justifying that price. A Blu-ray and a DVD and a poster, a sticker and a CD?
Yeah.
No. So you buy all them separate, it probably costs $50. So the box costs $100. Is that what the price tag is? You know?
I mean, as opposed to, here's another one for you. So it's like the Price is Right. Metal version, Price is Right.
Oh, the Joe Satch thing. Is that what you're looking at?
Nope. So Motorhead's putting out this Bad Magic Deluxe version.
Okay.
So this is
the new album.
So this has got the limited edition. It's got the LP, the CD. It's got a big ass thick book.
Yeah.
A poster, a back patch, and a patch. And it's €40.
Yeah, that's a decent price. That's very good value.
Yeah.
If you're into the vinyl, and because if you buy the vinyl separate, that's 20.
Yeah.
Right. I noticed euros, you're probably looking at $39.99. That's probably $45-50, but the vinyl is going to cost you 20.
Yeah.
Right. And then you have the CD on top of that, you're going to add 10.
Yeah.
And
so this is, I mean, yeah, this is very much what
that
you,
is,
if you go.
Yes.
If anything, you're like, wait a minute, I'm getting an album and a CD. Like, all right. Yeah. So
I'm going to give Lemmy the money.
There you go.
I'm not going to give Slayer the money. I'd rather give Lemmy the money because it's Lemmy and I'm not half a Slayer. But the $149.99, that to me is a bit rich.
Yeah, again, I like clicked on it and it was like, oh, like all the enthusiasm for it just drained right out of me.
Yeah, and the problem there is that within a day, they'll probably have the making of up on YouTube. You know, it's, and are they going to release the VAC and stuff separately? Can you buy it separate? Is it exclusive for that box set?
I bet if they took all that time to make a CD version of it and a DVD Blu-ray version of it, the only cost effective thing is they're not going to go, we're going to make all of this and only make 3,000 of these.
Mm.
It's going to come out separately at some point. It has to.
Do you think they'll sell 3,000?
Yes.
I don't think so. No, I don't think so.
We'll have to see.
In this day and age,
we'll have to keep track.
Yeah, we'll keep track of it.
Says fold out.
In this day and age, they're not going to sell 3,000 of those. Not at that price.
I don't know. We're talking about, Europe, Brazil. They're hardcore.
Yeah, I know, but that's a decent price tag.
I know it is.
Tag.
It's a chunk of change.
If that was 1990 and that was Seasons in the Abyss,
yeah,
or it was South of Heaven, you'd sell 3,000 in 2015. I can't see them selling those out. Not that they're going to tell us.
Yeah,
but that's a hard sell. That really is a hard sell.
Yeah. Cause you can die by the sword. Leave by the sword and everything can change. I have less mind in you all. Down with my hand and lose the blood. Trust yourself as you fall. Mother is tyranny, but God's in the victim. Children's lost in the pain. The veins in which I serve only the words of the Lord. Down the soul. Down the soul. Satan was all I left. Smiled and shot into infinity. Daniel's king, the gas of my hair. The love of the longer exists. Here I cry, see the throne. I only wish we live. We turn our heads to the sky. All right. Well, anyways, probably want to hop on to our guest this week.
Sure.
So I was curious as far as Dangerous Toys. I mean, back in Ireland, were they popular? Big?
No.
Like, never really on your radar?
No, unfamiliar. I know the name. I wouldn't know one song. Hmm. And I'm into that genre of music. I think at the time there was just so many bands, and there was a lot of bands that were bigger than them.
Well, I put them, and I kind of talked with Jason a little bit on this as well during the interview, but I kind of put them on the same thing as, like, and yeah, they were all caught up in that same thing. But then you take, like, a band like Tesla. I mean, you wouldn't have considered Tesla to be a hair metal band. They were just kind of, they were around the same time. They had videos. They were popular. They got sucked into being called hair metal, but they're really not. Mm. And I always think of Dangerous Toys as they had a little bit of a harder edge to them. They had that Texas boogie rock thing going that you see coming out of almost, you know, even hear it a little bit in Flotsam and Jetsam. It's like every band that comes out of Texas has this other thing. And of course, you know, a band like Pantera takes that and amplifies that up.
Yeah.
And you can't miss it. But you hear it, you know, you hear it in ZZ Top. You know, even for a band like King's X that went down and spent the time in Texas, they picked it up as well. It's got this other thing in there. So I think it set Dangerous Toys a little bit apart from a lot of the other hair bands, but they definitely got lumped into it.
Yeah, who was the singer in Bonham? But that wasn't Jason McMaster, was it? You know, the art of timekeeping, or they released an album in the late 80s, early 90s.
Daniel McMaster.
Ah, I was close.
Yeah, I'm like going, I'm thinking about it, I'm going, God damn it, I think I have that CD signed too. I couldn't remember.
It's not him though.
No.
Daniel McMaster.
No, if it was, I'd be referring to a ghost, because Daniel McMaster died like in 2008, 2009.
Yeah, see, I'm oblivious to that. So I just know the surname is familiar to me from, I thought it might have been him.
Yeah.
No, but Dangerous Toys, they were never really on my radar. I think the bigger bands, they were never really huge. I think, you know, you've bands like Babylon AD and all these bands that were just under the radar. Like, the bands that were under the radar for me that I got into, Hurricane was one of them. Uh-huh. But Dangerous Toys, never really got into them at all.
No.
Knew of them, of course.
Yeah.
But I think even Kerrang back in the late 80s, they didn't really cover them as much as they would the Teslas and the Wingers and Bon Jovi's, the big, big rock bands.
Yeah.
Not to say that they weren't a good band,
right,
but they just didn't get the coverage.
Yeah, yeah. All right. So let's hear a little bit of Dangerous Toys, and I'll roll my conversation with Jason McMaster. Headbangers, let's raise your voices and a few horns for Pastor McMaster, the man behind the Church of Disaster. How are we doing tonight, Jason?
I'm doing very, very well. Thanks for having me.
Hey, thanks for coming on, especially knowing how busy you are and the amazing array of bands that you're with. And, of course, the big news or the buzz is the fact of Dangerous Toys reactivated and out doing shows.
Yeah, we actually slowed down in the late 90s, and we've been active since 99. That year, a couple of our independent releases were reissued, and we put out a live record, and that's 99. I can't even remember 99. It was so long ago now, but you know, the band slowed down just as much as the industry sort of slowed down, and then gas prices went up, and you know, that slows everything down too. But oh, yeah. You know, we only play a handful of shows a year. This year has already ramped up into, you know, 5 or 6 shows on the books already. And I know that doesn't sound like a lot, but it's all about quality and not quantity.
Right. Yeah. And you got some cool shows coming up. You got the one coming up with the Cat House, and like you said, just some really cool shows you've got booked into. So it's, yeah, like you said, small amount of shows, but yeah, it looks like you've been just picking some primo dates.
Yeah, there's some club shows, and then there's some, you know, festival shows. And it's all the same show to me.
Absolutely, you know.
Yeah, man.
And of course, I'm sure people always ask you, right? And I know it's a tough thing with music and everything, but you ever think about putting out any new DT material?
Well, I've been accused by myself of having a bad attitude about that, and my bad attitude is this sort of mindset that. In 95, we made a record called The Artist Formerly Known as Dangerous Toys, which was, you know, it had some distorted vocals. It was kind of, it was heavier and softer at the same time. You know, you could call it our alternative metal record. You could call it what, anyway, it trying to put it in a box is ridiculous, but... it wasn't really the same type of a record because we sort of just let ourselves write whatever we were feeling at the time.
Sure.
God forbid, you know? and it's probably my favorite Dangerous Toys record because we actually felt like real songwriters as opposed to... you know, and making ourselves feel free to write and release whatever we were feeling at that time.
Right.
It's our least popular record because it's not crotch-grabbing, you know, sex, drugs, rock and roll. Mm. It's a different vibe.
Right.
And so, you know, it didn't move. It didn't do a whole lot. And that's okay. But I would feel the same if we were going to record a new Dangerous Toys record in 2015, 16, 17. You know, it would be a bunch of older guys looking around in a room going, oh, yeah, that's cool. That's kind of cool. Does that sound like Tease and Please It enough to you? Yeah. Trying to sound like we used to sound when we were 20, when we're 50,
yeah.
doesn't sound right to me. It sounds disconnected.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't sound right. You know, it doesn't mean we wouldn't be probably writing a song about, you know, ass and titties, you know, but that's kind of where that band was, you know, the sleaze rock, that type of a thing. Even though I still feel, and I hear this from pundits all the time about how Dangerous Toys was a little bit more metally.
Mm-hmm.
If that's even a word, than Warrant or even L.A. Guns or whatever, you know?
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah.
And I don't know why that is. Yeah, the Texas thing. It was Aerosmith, ZZ Top, Cowboy Boot, kind of, you know, Fog Hat, kind of boogie. But it also had, you know, it had some flair that was leaning more of a metal-y thing, you know?
No, I mean, I can understand that, you know, not wanting, it sounds like you, you know, you just kind of want to be true to what you're feeling right now. And if you're not, you're not feeling like, you know, you can produce some stuff that you'd be really happy about putting out, then you don't want to do it. And I can respect
that.
Well,
I'm sure that we could write a great rock record, but mm-hmm. I don't think any hardcore Dangerous Toys fan who fell in love with us in 89, 90, 91 is going to be satisfied, because it's not going to sound like, I mean, I've got other bands.
Oh yeah.
That I use to scratch all of my songwriting itches. I just think that it would be almost futile to make a Dangerous Toys record when Dangerous Toys fans want it to sound like their Dangerous Toys,
yeah.
Whichever Dangerous Toys they feel like is their Dangerous Toys.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when people meet us and we don't look like we do on the back of the fucking album cover, you know, they get upset.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm trying to say. It's a little bit shallow on one side, but I want to deliver what they're asking for,
mm-hmm.
and what I feel like they really do want is that old record, those old records. They want to hear those songs that, you know, took them away and made them feel free of stress of life,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah.
So there's nothing wrong with that.
No, absolutely not. I mean, a lot of good stuff there. I was, I used to always use that little riff out of Tease and Please, and was always a good warm-up riff for me. I used to really love doing that, because it just, you know, it was very similar to doing something like, you know, same old song and dance, that kind of riff. It's a good way to get your finger going. I used to love that riff. And I think you're in a great position, right? Because you can go out and you can play all these songs and feed those people's need for the classic DT stuff. But then you can go off Broken Teeth and do all kinds of other stuff. And so, and for me, being a music fan, it's great. If I want to hear, you know, new stuff from Jason McMaster, I can just, you know, go over to Broken Teeth Land and get it there.
Yeah. Yep. I've got a lot of stuff going on because I like, you know, I like all different kinds of music. I like all different kinds, styles of metal and rock. So, you know, if it's good, I like it.
Yeah. Yeah. And
doesn't matter what it is. So.
Yeah. And you can see that you know, absolutely. You're like one of these guys that's really like that true music fan, just with all the different cover bands that you sing in. That's a pretty wide variety of stuff that you're doing there as well. And, you know, to be willing to do that and able to do that, that's a true metal fan right there.
And no one told me that I wasn't allowed to do that.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I don't think they dare anyway. So you got that going for you.
Well, I don't know why they wouldn't if they thought it was a bad idea. You know, maybe people wouldn't think that I was focused because I had so many different things going on.
Yeah, well, that's usually what the trolls do say, right? Is, oh, well, you know, too many irons in the fire and yeah, all that crap. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right, right, right. Yeah. Well, if I don't have a gig tonight, that means I need to form a new band.
There you go. And that's why you got so much.
See what
stuff.
I mean? Right. If I want to rock tonight and no one else is available, well, it looks like I'm forming a new band. You know, it's a joke that I say that, you know, makes me feel better about being so busy. So.
Hey, whatever makes you feel better. If that works for you,
that's right.
Good deal. No, that's good.
That's right, man.
Yeah. You know,
that's right.
And but I do like the fact that, you know, for all the original stuff you do, you always seem to inject that seems to be that like Texas vibe to your stuff. And I really like that. It's like identifiable, and it comes out, and it just seems to be like a, you know, like a pure thing in what you do.
Cool. Thanks, man.
And you know, I don't think people have enough appreciation a lot of times, you know, like, you know, I'm a big Pantera fan, but I think if you listen, I mean, a lot of the stuff that you guys were doing in DT is very similar, you know, just not as heavy and hard-edged as Pantera, but it did definitely have that same kind of dime groove going to it. I just think that, you know, people look and go, oh, well, that was, you know, that was during the hair metal time, and they discount a lot of the really cool stuff that you guys were doing, which is a shame.
Yeah. We'll be right back.
as far as, you know, all your other many things going on, you know, what's going on with Broken Teeth right now? I mean, you had a new single that came out, right? Which is even kind of crazy to call things singles anymore, but...
Yeah, well, we are, we're writing, you know, we don't write like a whole record at a time.
Mm-hmm.
We sort of write a little bit at a time, and my guitar player's living in New York at the moment, and he's been there for a couple of years now, so it seemingly slowed us down a little bit. But not enough to sort of like hinder us at really much at all, because the way records are written now and songs are written are, you know, over the internet and through voice notes and FaceTime and all kinds of crap like that. So, you know, it hadn't hindered Broken Teeth enough to not be able to write. Jared, you know, my guitar player, living out of state. We do have a new record coming out. It's in the can. It's called Bulldozer. It's coming out on blue vinyl. Vinyl released prior to digital or CD, which is kind of strange.
Yeah, but I think a lot more people are doing it now than ever before, and it's kind of cool to see.
Yeah, I agree 100%. It's exciting for us because we haven't had anything out on vinyl yet.
Hmm.
And... I'm a vinyl lover. I'm not a vinyl freak, but you know, that's always the go-to for me. You know, when you, I call it the ritual.
Uh-huh.
You know, because you're looking at something, you're holding something in your hand.
There's so many of us that have that same thing. And I've talked to so many artists about that. And we're like all in the same boat of holding that vinyl, and you look at the cover and you look at the back, and you, if it's the gatefold, then it's the gatefold, then it's the liner notes. It's, and you're right. I mean, that's a cool way to call it. It's the ritual. I love that. And, I do the same thing. Yep.
So we're looking forward to having that come out. I don't have a physical release date yet, but
yeah.
Something to look forward to, you know, but we're also writing. We have a handful of new songs already that are haven't been recorded yet. We've got demo versions of them, you know.
Yeah.
And that's going really well. I actually really, really like the new material a lot. So
nice, nice.
Broken Teeth is not dead.
That's good. That's good. Yeah. I'm definitely, enjoying that stuff. And I had another podcast that I used to listen to, and they had introduced me to Broken Teeth, and it was like, this is just really great stuff. It was great to hear, you know, your voice again. And I think it's just a great band, and I'm glad it continues, because I think there's a lot of great music there.
Cool.
So you know, anything else besides those two? I know you've got, you know, all the different cover bands that you've been doing, and then I think you have some smaller projects as well, correct?
Well, I'm in a band called Evil United.
Mm-hmm.
We have two records out. We just did two shows with Armored Saint and Saxons.
Nice.
And those went extremely well, and had a blast. And there's some video online from the Dallas show that we did. The newest record came out actually September last year. It's called Honored by Fire. You know, it's a good sophomore effort. It's kind of thrash metal, you know. Mm-hmm. It's not like Dangerous Toys or Broken Teeth. I'm also in another group called Igniter, and I've been in Igniter for longer than I've been in Evil United. Evil United, I've been doing for about, 5 years already. Two records, 5 years, four and a half years. And, Igniter, I've been doing for about 8 years.
Yeah.
And Igniter is more of a power metal type thing. Dio, King Diamond, Judas Priest type of a thing.
Very nice. Yeah.
And, you know, we've got worldwide releases. There's like three records I've done with, Igniter, and two with Evil United. And, you know, it might be easy to get confused if you're typing in McMaster. But that's okay.
Yeah, no, that's good. And when you talk Igniter, that it's I-G-N-I-T-O-R, right?
Correct.
All right. That way there, if people are going to go look up this stuff, I don't want them going for it with E-R and going, what the hell is he talking about? And that's what I thought.
Yeah.
I thought it ended in O-R. I want to make sure people go and want to go seek this stuff out. They can spell it and find it. So
that's correct.
That's the idea, right?
And Igniter is actually recording new material as we speak. I was at the studio last night.
Nice.
So don't know when there will be a release date on that either, but I'm busy. I'm consistent, but, you know, it's just slow. You know, I don't release 2 records every year, but I'm always working on something.
Yeah. And it's, you know, it's also interesting, you know, with that, that people should realize is that, you know, you talk about being busy, but you're doing all these different things. And it's not like you're a guitar player, but you're using your voice being busy with all of this stuff. And, you know, you've got different ways of singing and different muscles that you're using and all that. And for you to be able to maintain that and sound as good as you sound for all this time and doing it, I mean, that's not an easy thing to do. I mean, people talk about, you know, other people, great vocalists, but a lot of times those guys were in one band, maybe 2 bands, and they weren't doing this myriad of styles that you're doing, but you've got all kinds of stuff that you're doing. You sound great in all of them, and it's all just your voice, and I think people should have a better appreciation for that.
Well, thank you very much. It's been interesting using my voice in the way that I do. Igniter and Evil United both are very strenuous on my voice because there's probably just more hurtling.
Hmm.
There's a lot more hurtling going on than there is. And, you know, Dangerous Toys is not an easy feat sometimes just because I was so young when that stuff was recorded, you know?
Yeah.
And the vocal parts that I did write for those old Dangerous Toys songs, some of it's a bit ridiculously high. So
right. High, and also you were going through the words pretty fast and at a high pitch, and it's kind of like a double whammy there.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. But, you know, staying in shape with my voice is important to me anyway because I'm a voice teacher for the School of Rock.
Oh, okay.
So. Yeah, and I absolutely love that job, not only because it keeps me in shape for, you know, different vocal styles all the time, as well as doing the cover band stuff keeps me in shape because I'm just switching styles left and right doing that stuff. So,
yeah.
But, you know, it can strengthen you. And, you know, really the trick is kind of just take it real easy, you know.
Hmm.
You know, don't, it's like, leave some for tomorrow.
Yeah. That's going to be a pretty cool gig though, doing School of Rock. Are there a lot of students that come in like first time and realize like, holy shit, my vocal teacher is Jason McMaster or is it more that, you know, they've realized who you are, you know, a few lessons in?
The parents.
Oh, there you go.
It's the parents you're talking about.
Yeah.
It's never the kids. It's the parents. That are like, holy crap, I know who that is. I want my kid to take lessons from him. You know, that kind of happens sometimes. But enough about that. It's really, the job is rewarding because of I'm giving some back.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's the, you know, the reward out of doing the show is the same thing. Is it's just trying to, you know, giving back. I enjoy your stuff. And, you know, this is a small way for me to give back for my enjoyment of to let people know what Jason McMaster's up to and, you know, what they should be looking out for and all that. So, yeah, I mean, I think that's probably part of the best satisfaction in life is giving back. So it's cool when you get
Definitely.
A chance to do it. Yeah, yeah. So as
Definitely.
Far as, you know, everyone's on the web and stuff. So, you know, as far as people that want to know, you know, what's going on, best way to keep up, are there any certain websites they should hit or Facebook or Twitter or what would you recommend?
Well, I'm on all of them. There's a jasonmcmaster.net that's, you know, not necessarily up to date as far as a site, but all of my show dates are up, can be found there.
There you go.
I have a Facebook, all my bands have a Facebook, But dangeroustoys.us is a safe site. I know it's .us, but that's just a new .com type thing. And dangeroustoys.us, it's a brand new site. It's still sort of under construction, but people can find all of the coming soon and near future Dangerous Toys show dates there. I'm going to have some merchandise available there soon, some Dangerous Toys stuff, as well as I think Igniter's website is igniterband.com. And, you know, Google, man. You can find anything and everything about me on Google, as well as all my bands. And the Internet's just a great tool for research.
Mm-hmm.
And Amazon's not too bad either.
No, that's right. It's kind of a...
It's kind of where the world has gone. We need to embrace, you know, that a little bit. But the idea of the ritual, as I backpedal a little bit, we need to make sure that, you know, the young music fans can become a part of that.
Yeah, yeah, I would absolutely agree. It's something that... you know, it's sad. I look back and my kids have only really experienced, you know, CDs actively. I mean, I got a lot of vinyl in the house, but they never really actively do it. And I think it's just a cool way to experience music.
Well, I'm afraid that, and it's not, you wouldn't consider it to be, you know, to go and call the youth of today lazy. I don't want to call them lazy because it just sounds like I'm being a dick, but the real deal is they just totally missed it. Everything is served up by just pressing a button. Right. They think that music should be free. I'll be a dick about that instead of saying you're lazy. I'll just say you think music should be free. That's how maybe they would, oh, you're an old dude. Yeah, screw you. Music should be free. Well, if you wrote a song and you didn't have any gas in your car, wouldn't you want someone to buy that song if it's all you had?
Right.
So you could put gas in your car? It's simple as that.
That's right.
Let's say you're starving. Oh, but you've got all these songs. Well, if someone liked your music enough to pay a dollar for it, oh, 10 songs, 10 bucks. Takes one fan. You win one fan at a time. You know, that's how it is these days. You win your fans one at a time.
Yeah, I would agree. Yeah. And I think the other part of the ritual, too, that, you know, that I miss is the fact that you would listen to, listen to the album. You know, it was nothing else. You weren't doing anything else. And as I would tell people, you consumed that whole side and then you flipped it over and you consume the other side. Or as you said, a lot of times now today, it's at the push of a button and it just kind of, a lot of times it isn't consumed. It's just like, oh, they sort of hear it, but you know, it's not the whole engrossing thing that kind of everybody used to have when they were playing an album. So I think that part of it too, I wish some of that would come back. And I think metal fans as a whole are a lot better about being album oriented. But I think that if it happened on the whole, I think it would make music a lot better.
Oh yeah.
And I think it would also make people make albums. And again, I think a lot of times a lot of metal bands will put out 10 great songs, but you know, on the other end of the music where all the money is, they'll put in, you know, the two singles everyone buys on iTunes for their album, and then they have 8 pieces of crap that it's just some stolen beats or whatever, and they call that music, and they wonder why people don't buy the albums or listen to them. So
yeah, we don't want to talk about religion or politics, but that's pretty much where we're going with this. That's kind of just where the world is now, and you know, there's a lot of things we could talk about that would take us down that road. So sounds like we're on the same page here.
I think so. It's just two angry old dudes. So
that's right. That's all right. It keeps me warm.
There we go. Well, you know, I'm glad we were able to at the last minute make this all work tonight. And I was definitely looking forward to talking to you all day. And like I said,
awesome.
Glad we could come together and worship in the church of Pastor McMaster. So it's been great having
that's
you
right.
on, Jason. And I'm glad you took some time tonight hanging with us on Focus on Metal. And hope you come back again sometime.
Thanks, bro. I'd love that. Have me back as often as you like.
Awesome. Well, good luck recording all that new stuff. And I'll be looking forward to listening to it. And have a good rest of the night, man.
Awesome. Thank you very much.
All right. Later.
Bye-bye.
There you go. A little talk with Jason. Hope you guys are digging that one. And, of course, visit all the websites he's talking about. And like he said, just fucking Google it.
Just fucking Google it.
And you can find him. He's everywhere out there with the number of bands he's in. Just
he's another one of these guys in multiple bands.
He's a busy, busy guy.
That's good. Gotta do it.
Hello, my name's Crazy Tom from Gun Driver, and we are here on Focus on Metal.
That's right. Got another busy guy for you this week. That is Crazy Tom's from the band Gun Driver. These guys formed up in 2013, had the first album out, a self-titled one, and just recently they released their second one. It's called What's Inside. So how about I spin you a little Gun Driver, and then we'll get into a conversation with Crazy Tomes and figure out, as far as Gun Driver, what's inside.
You've got everything. I see that you got nothing. Mistaken, you've come to be all that I despise. Tell me what it is to make you try. I take you down and kill what's inside. Tell me what it is to make you dry. I take you down and kill what's inside. I take you down and kill what's inside. What's inside? What's inside? Closing in, the shadows fall to haunt you. This game you're playing, I found out how to win. Tell me what it is to make you try. I take you down and kill what's inside. Tell me what it is to make you try. I take you down and kill what's inside. I take you down and kill what's inside. What's inside? What's inside?
Another great band to bring your way, and that is the band Gun Driver. And I am on the line tonight with the man who does the vocals. That would be Crazy Tomes. How we doing, my friend?
Oh, how you doing? I'm doing great.
Awesome, doing really awesome. Good. You guys seem like in the few short years that you've been together, it's like you've done a lot of crap already.
Yeah, it seems so. You know, it's a blessing.
The latest album, What's Inside, that's your second album out so far, correct?
Yes.
Definitely. I mean, nice mix of stuff on there. Lovin' Rip It, Make Her Mine, Rockin', Battle Zone, like really good tracks. Then you got a couple of ones in there that have a little bit of a different flavor in there as well, like Let Me Rock You and Before the Sun. And straight out, they rock all the way through, and just a nice variety of stuff on the latest album.
Oh, thank you. Yes. You know, I mean, the whole purpose of the second album was basically to expand our sound and, you know, involve more progressive elements like the one on Before the Sun or the country rock blues on that song, Let Me Rock You. That's the song I wrote, actually. You know, and, you know, we mixed it all up, you know, with metal, of course. And, you know, that was, you know, a good experience. That's good, you know?
Yeah, definitely. And you know, talking about you getting a lot of influence back from, like, Bon Scott, you can really hear it on this album, that's for sure.
Oh, thank you. Yes, I definitely love AC/DC.
Yeah, it's pretty obvious. And I would say that for anybody, you know, that and who doesn't love AC/DC, that...
I know, right?
Definitely, you know, Gun Driver, if you like good old AC/DC, stuff like Powerage and stuff, you would love this album. It's just absolutely great stuff. You know, it's not a copy of AC/DC, but it's got the spirit and it's just got the hooks. I mean, that's one of the things that really stood out to me on this, is that every song is like hook after hook after hook. You don't hear that a lot these days, but really, you know, you know, I don't know if it's all Tom and putting all the hooks in there or what, but every song has just got really good hooks.
Well, you know, I mean, the whole, you know, point, my thing at least, you know, of writing songs is to, you know, at least make them catchy in some way that, you know, it'll stick to the listeners, in a listener's head. Mm. A lot of people, you know, they just write song after song and, you know, it all sounds the same. Nobody remembers it. So
yeah,
it's really our way of writing, which is to make something unique about every song, if we can, you know, so that the listener will still remember it, you know, in a week, in a year, hopefully in many years.
Yeah, and I think that that's part of what I see is that, you know, that AC/DC influence as well, you know, because I can remember you put on those early AC/DC albums and you just would remember every song on there. And again, it was just these really cool hooks and riffs. And I just hear that a lot in your stuff as well. And it's just, it's really memorable stuff.
Well, thank you so much. I'm glad.
How was it touring with Michael Schenker? I mean, that's got to be a hell of a tour to be on.
Yes, well, you know, Michael has always been one of my favorite guitar players. I mean, one of the greatest guitar players ever lived. And, you know, I always loved Scorpions and UFO. I was raised on the Scorpions since I was a little kid. So, you know, it was an amazing experience. And it was like, you know, every night, you know, this was our second tour with him, and every night both tours we've been watching him and his band play, you know, night after night, and it was always like learning a lesson, you know. Yeah. I think we got better as musicians each time.
Yeah, he is absolutely one of my favorites as well. And, you know, I talked to a lot of people on the show, but one of the guys, when I ended up talking to him, I talked to Michael, not the tour that he just did, but the one before that for the first Temple of Rock that he put out. I was like the last interview that he did. And yeah, for like the first 5 minutes, I just turned into fanboy. I just couldn't believe I was talking to Michael Schenker. He's just one of those people that, you know, he's just so influential and stuff. And it's just amazing when you talk to him and you get his, you know, his kind of his outlook on everything, and just a really different guy.
Yeah, he's really a musical genius, you know, who literally, you know, lives and breathes music every moment.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's amazing. And the fact that, it's, you know, the band that he's got out there with him, like all those guys are pretty much the same way. They all live and breathe music as well. So, yeah, it had to be just a killer tour to be on with that guy.
Oh yes. And now, of course, he has the original Scorpions rhythm section, Herman on drums and Francis on bass. So he was like three-fifths of the original Scorpions plus, you know, Doogie White. Mm. On vocals and Wayne Finley on guitar. You know, all those guys are amazing musicians.
Yeah, absolutely.
They put on a great show. They are always very solid. And of course, you know, everything Michael plays is, you know, brilliant after brilliant, you know?
Oh, I know, absolutely. And any time during that tour at all, did you get to do any kind of vocal jam with Doogie at all?
Well, we went to karaoke parties a few times. You know, we definitely had fun.
That's awesome. Yeah, I listened to the album and I'm listening to your voice and I'm thinking, wow, that him and Doogie singing together, that might sound pretty damn cool.
You know, I would love to record a duet with Doogie one day. He's one hell of a singer and a frontman.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Great guy too. You know.
Yeah. So you know, what do you guys have planned for the rest of the year now, as far as touring? Or are you going to do any more recording, or you're just kind of laying back?
Oh, right now we're just finished this tour, so we're laying back a little bit. I mean, all of us work on different projects. You know, I play with different people and record with different people as session musician. Right now, I'm actually. I was just doing a session with a legendary R&B singer, Swamp Dogg, you know, and Guitar Shorty, you know, who I play bass for. He was also in session, and, you know, me and Guitar Shorty about to go to Belgium as well to play with at a Pure Blues Festival with Melissa Etheridge, Jamie Lou Harris, The Animals, you know, a lot of people. So, you know, everybody got in the band got, you know, projects on their own. Meanwhile, as for Gun Driver, you know, we'll probably do something towards the end of the year. You know, we're thinking of doing possibly a European tour, maybe. But either way, we'll definitely be touring America again either late this year or early next year.
Nice, yeah. I'm surprised that you guys aren't trying to hit a couple of the festivals over the summer over in Europe, because, I mean, definitely something like what you guys do, it would fit anywhere.
Yeah. And right now, you know, things are in the works.
It's always like that, right? Things are in the works.
Oh yes.
Yeah, absolutely. No, it's cool.
Cruising down the highway, got my foot on the gas. Fast steaming cars, I'm gonna get the pass. Burning some rubber in my own Mustang. I got my girl next to me. Shit, my sweet thing, yeah. I'm a mean machine on the road. Always got the upper hand. I never fold. I'm gonna rip it, gonna tear it down. Watch it on the line. Let it all fall down. The sun going down, baby, hold on tight. To start, let's rip it tonight. I'm a mean machine on the road. Always got the upper hand. I never fall. I'm gonna rip it, gonna tear it down. Watch it on the line. Let it all fall down. Tearing down no silly wall. Knocking down what's standing tall. Look back.
Yeah, so I actually wasn't aware that you were also a bass player. How long have you been doing that?
Well, I was actually the original bass player for Gun Driver, and everything you hear on both of our records, that's me on bass. On the first album, I did the bass and vocals and some keyboards, and then the second album, I did all the bass, some lead guitar and vocals. I've been playing bass for a couple of years, you know, ever since I joined Guitar Shorty. And it's been, you know, I started as a guitar player, you know, I've been a professional guitar player for a while, since I was 19, but, you know, I always like learning new things, new instruments.
It seems like it's an interesting thing. Like, I started off as a bass player and then migrated to guitar, but you kind of have a lot of people that do start as the guitar player and they migrate to bass a lot of times because it's like, you know, it's easier to get a bass spot. Every band's looking for a bass player, but, wow, I wasn't aware that you had been wearing so many hats with Gun Driver.
Yeah. Yep.
Wow. With all the PR stuff, I wish they would have brought that out a little bit more and let people know just how much stuff that you do.
Yeah, well, you know, thank you for bringing it up. I'll certainly, yeah.
Cool.
Let them know.
So, as far as, your own, you know, musical career, how long have you been in the business?
Well, I mean, I started playing semi-professionally, you know, playing bar gigs, club gigs when I was still in college, like when I was 19, you know, around then. I was still living in Virginia at the time. So I did a couple of East Coast tours, and then I moved to L.A.
Oh, okay.
To, take my career to the next level. And, you know, I ended up playing with a different band, different backing up different blues and R&B legends, recording for people, and, you know, so far so good.
Yeah, absolutely. And knowing that too, and knowing that, you know, how much you've been rooted into blues and R&B, then I can really see also that connection with Bon Scott, because he had a lot of rooting in that as well, and like you two are coming from the same place.
Oh yeah, I mean, his influences are pretty much the same as mine, which is, you know, old blues, Elvis, and the Beatles, and this is what, like, you know, I grew up on that still, you know.
Right. Yeah.
Worship those guys.
Yeah, you know, because, you know, a lot of people will listen to a band like AC/DC, and they don't realize, like, how much of an influence, a lot of that stuff is to them. You know, they just think, oh, well, it must be hard rock or whatever. But it's like, no, they're pretty much rooted in that, you know, that old blues R&B type of stuff. And
I mean, really, if you think about AC/DC, they're really rooted in Chuck Berry.
Absolutely.
If you think about it, I mean, that's really 50s rock and roll, especially Chuck Berry. And Chuck Berry is one of my top favorites ever, ever, ever.
Yeah.
You know, so basically AC/DC just, you know, took Chuck Berry's guitar riff, you know, and made it a little harder, and, you know, different vocal style, which is more, high pitch. So, but by the end of the day, it's all 50s rock, really, and that's what I that's what I really, really love when it comes down to it. So I think, you know, that's where the AC/DC connection comes in. Now, of course, you know, I have every AC/DC album in my collection as well. And, you know, 70s hard rock and metal have been a great influence on me since forever.
Right.
But it all comes from the blues and early rock and roll, of course. You know, like Chuck Berry, Little Richard, Elvis.
So, you know, I get a sense that it seems like that you and Tom must do the most of the writing for the tracks?
Our drummer, Alex Rivas, he does a lot of the lyrics, of course. But music-wise, I would say so. Tom comes up with the guitar riffs, usually. Sometimes I do, but, he usually brings a bunch of riffs to the table, and then we make a song out of it, you know, I write a melody line, and then usually me and Alex be the one all together, you know, with the whole band, we make up the words.
You know, I look at this, and, you know, it's basically 9 solid songs, which is, a great length for a CD as well. I was talking to Joey Vera the other day, and we were talking about this, and, you know, like 9 songs is like the great length for it. So it's like the perfect length album and stuff.
Yeah, I think so. You know, we figured that anything between, you know, 8 to 11 songs is a good number for an album.
Yeah, it seems like you get beyond that, and you're kind of like wishing it's over, or you don't remember everything, and I think it makes it harder to get into, but, you know, this is a nice, perfect length. And how long did it take for you guys to actually get all this together, you know, write it and record it?
Oh, wow, good question. Well, you know, the first album, we really didn't take our time as much. That's when we have to come back and re-record it, a lot of the things later on, you know, and re-release it. Now, the second album, we took our time. We took about, you know, at least 2 months, you know, just to, you know, write things and get together and everything, you know, and then another month to, you know, rehearse and work out everything and record.
Yeah, yeah.
But usually the recording itself doesn't take that long. We usually, by the time we go into the studio, we know what we're doing. We're not one of those bands who will, you know, just go into the studio and have no idea what the hell they're doing, you know.
Yeah.
We already work out all our parts. We know what we're playing. And it's just a matter of, you know, hit the record button and, you know, there we go.
Yeah.
So the actual recording process didn't take only about, you know, like a week or two. But everything else, of course, you know, that's why it takes time.
Yeah.
To make sure everything's going to be, you know, the best, you know, we can possibly do.
Yeah. And it definitely sounds like, you know, a lot of this is, you know, it really sounds like a band playing together, and you just have that, you know, that talk back and forth between musicians and stuff, and it has kind of a live feel to it.
Well, a lot of the tracks, you know, they were recorded together in the studio, you know, a lot of that's why, and, you know, we're really very much a live band, and we still play to a metronome in the studio, and all, but our spirit is very much alive, you know, we have that energy going, so we try to recapture it. Yeah. As much as we can.
Yeah, and you really do. I think, you know, that's one of the things you always hear about, like some of the bands back in the 70s and stuff, right, is the whole idea of being unable to really capture that live energy. But you can really hear it on this, which is pretty awesome to listen to it. And it just, you just get that feeling that that you guys are just like just ripping it up on a lot of this stuff.
Oh, thank you so much. That means a whole lot. Thank you.
It's always that elusive thing, right? I mean, you know, I know I've recorded a lot of stuff too, and it's, you can overthink it, definitely, and end up with nothing. But, you know, it sounds to me like you guys were able to go in there and just have it happen natural. And it just does sound really good.
Yes. You know, thank you so much. You know, that's what we'd like to, you know, to think too. You know, that's our purpose, to just go in and, you know, capture the live energy and spirit.
Yeah.
You know,
as far as people that want to know more about the band and what's going on, maybe tour dates. Now, I know you have a main website, which is gundriver.com.
Yeah.
But where else on the net could they go to talk to you guys? You got a Facebook page or Twitter or anything like that?
Yes. Facebook page, facebook.com/gundriver.
Awesome.
And, you know, we always respond. Usually it's Tom, our guitar player, you know, who's the master of it all. But we have a Facebook. I think we have a Twitter too, but it's all on our website, on gundriver.com. They can find absolutely everything. And soon enough, we're going to have a new video released of our title track from our album, What's Inside.
Hmm.
it's going to come out in the next week or two.
That was interesting that you decided to call the album What's Inside, too, because, you know, I read some of these other tracks, and to me, like, things like, you know, like Rip It to me sound like a great album track, or Battle Zone did. What did you guys decide to go with What's Inside as the title track?
Well, originally, our album was going to be called Gun Driver 2, because our first album is called Gun Driver 1. But then we figured, well, it's too much like Led Zeppelin. We don't want to make it too redundant. So we figured, you know what, which of our songs can really, you know, represent the name of the album or you know, spark some kind of an interest. And, you know, What's Inside, you know, that's a very, you know, very ambiguous type of a title. You know, what's inside? I mean, what is inside? So, you know, we just kind of agreed on that.
It's always interesting, yeah, how album titles come along and stuff. So that, yeah, just like I said, I read it and go, well, geez.
Yeah.
I think definitely it's a pretty damn awesome album. And, you know.
Oh, thank you.
Of course, I'm going to ask you the tough question. And I know since you're very close to the songs, I can tell that. Out of all these tracks, what's your favorite track on the album?
My favorite, I'd say, how about my favorite two tracks, because it's a tie.
Ah.
Make Your Mind and Let Me Rock You.
Oh, okay. Nice.
And then close third would probably be Trapped.
Wow, those are, yeah, and that's definitely like three very different songs as well.
Yeah.
Awesome. I know it's been a couple days before, you know, for us to can get everything synchronized and everything, but I'm glad we were able to make it happen tonight and sit down and have a good conversation. And this way here, we can let all our listeners know all about Gun Driver and hopefully get them into you as much as we are here on Focus on Metal. And I definitely appreciate you taking the time at the last minute to talk to me tonight.
Oh, it's my pleasure. And thank you so much. I hope we stay in touch.
Awesome. I think we definitely will. So have a good rest of the weekend, and I will be looking forward to Gun Driver 3.
Yes. It'll happen.
Awesome.
Thank you so much.
All right. Have a good rest of the weekend.
You too.
All right. Later. So, that's it for this week. Any other last words?
No. I hope to.
How's Facebook going?
It's going. It's getting some responses. You know, I'm posting stuff on it, getting some comments here and there, some likes. You know, it is what it is. Yeah. You know, social media. You know that the it's great and not so great for certain things as well. But
yeah,
you know, it is what it is.
Yeah, cool. All right, so of course, you know, mention Facebook, so keep up with us on Facebook. You can reach out to Richie there as well, and obviously follow us on Twitter and hit up our main website, focusonmetal.net, or of course, focusonmetal.blogspot.com. Always a good place to go on Wednesday evenings, right after I post to the show. Sometimes you get some good show links up there, and you know, even like when I posted the Joey Vera and Fang one, I put up videos as well that were related, so sometimes a little bit of extra content there for you.
Actually,
he's got words.
No. It's not another Little Mountain Sound guest, by the way. I got a message on Facebook last night that somebody, they're doing a 300-mile round trip to see Fang this weekend.
Go.
And I'm thinking, nice. Because where I'm from, I had to fucking travel everywhere to go to concerts.
I thought you were going to say, but if they didn't have to take a ferry at some point, then they're not worth anything.
That was a really, really great message that I got. And I was like, fuck it, yeah, you know.
Awesome.
People are actually willing to travel that much to see a band that they like. And that's great, you know.
Yeah, and they're a great, I tell you, they're a great band. They really try to put in, you know, a great show on as well. And that's awesome.
Yeah, it is awesome. And I send them a message back, you know, enjoy the show, it's great that you're doing that, and it really is, because I did it for years. And you know, for someone to travel to see a band like that, that's not like a massive band.
Yeah, it's not, you know, you can get people do it, but like for Motorhead, Metallica, Grateful Dead, I don't know why, but yeah,
Dave,
I mean,
Matthews,
again, don't know why.
Yeah,
but yeah, no, that's awesome. That's cool.
Yeah, that was a good message to get. So, yeah, that's the good in Facebook.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Cool.
Yeah.
All right, so I guess that's a wrap for this week. And like we always say, have yourselves a great metal week. And until we talk to you again next week, remember,
focus on metal.
Everything else is insignificant.
here, it's over. Go home.